Welcome to the Milk Bottle Shopify e-commerce podcast, brought to you by Milk Bottle Labs, one of the world's top-rated accredited Shopify experts. Our founder, Keith Matthews, interviews Shopify folk to share as many Shopify tips and tricks as possible. Building a store is easy with Shopify, but if you engage the help of an official Shopify expert, you'll accelerate your revenue growth, increase conversions, and build a relationship with happier customers. That's where Milk Bottle comes in. Optimizing and building Shopify stores for growth is exactly what we do. This podcast is kindly supported by our two favorite Shopify tools we install in every store. Rewind.io, the leading backup solution for Shopify. Let's just say it's the cheapest insurance policy you'll ever get for your Shopify store and all your valuable data. Klaviyo is our preferred automated email solution used in every store we build and is trusted by over 65,000 brands worldwide. Their support is appreciated. Keep listening. We have some special offers for our podcast fans. Now over to your host, Keith Matthews.
Hey folks, welcome back. Today I'm delighted to share the second half of my interview with Una O'Hagan. Una is the Managing Director of Mars Pharmacy, Mars.ie, which is one of the most successful online pharmacies in Ireland and powered by Shopify. A few things struck me in this interview. One of them was Una's ambition as she describes how she began to expand the business when she took it over 20 years ago. And her journey into online is absolutely amazing. And this is worth listening to if you're planning an online venture or you're trying to scale it up. So in terms of the operation right now, how many stores, how many staff? What, just give us an insight into the daily operation from ours.
So we now from, that was back in 2001, it's going to be 20 years, we believe in September, since I took over the reins at Mars. So I suppose we're rewinding back, you know, that year I always, as I said, fell in love with the store. I asked Pierce, you know, if you're ever selling it, would you let me know? And 4 years afterwards, true to his word, he did let me know. And I was very lucky that I got backing so that I could buy it. And that was in 2001. So I got the keys in 2001. But I suppose very quickly, my ambition grew. And over the next, I'd say right up into the financial crisis, I would say we probably opened a pharmacy every couple of years. So at that stage, we were up to six pharmacies and all across Dublin, all Dublin based, but in distinct different communities, you know, from, you know, a greenfield site, which might have been co-located beside a doctor's surgery, to actually another acquisition of another pharmacy. And then obviously the financial crisis happened and we really diversified our business that time, because at that stage we were, our business was pretty much 80, maybe 90% prescription based. And of course, whenever the HSE did a series of cuts at that time, that was massively affected. And so I kind of made a promise to myself back then that I would never have all my eggs in one basket again. And that's when we, I suppose, started this whole journey into retail and developed out a really, we really had a look at our strengths within our business, our expertise that was that we had in Mars at that time, and played to our strengths. And that's where we developed our retail strategy in parallel with that. And that really served us very well, because what we did throughout all of that time, Keith, is we have a M plus a loyalty program, you know, where people sign up, our customers sign up, but in order to get promotions and hear about news and events and so on and so forth. So we kept asking our customers throughout all of that, what else would you like to see from Mars? What else, what products, what services and so on and so forth? And they kept on telling us, I suppose, if you ask your customers, they will tell you what they think but and how to improve.
Most people don't do that.
I know. Well, that's what sometimes...
They think they have to figure it out themselves, when actual fact, the answer is in their email database.
Yeah, I know. It's remarkable. So we kept surveying our customers throughout all of that time. And that was then that back in 2000, I'd say it was 2013, really, Keith, that we started to see every time we launched a survey that e-commerce was coming up, you know, an offering for... a click and collect actually was what was coming up, because a lot of our customers would be Baggot Street, Barrow Street at that time, professional customers, just really, really busy and, you know, hadn't time at lunchtime to be queuing and then getting their sandwich and whatnot. So they wanted a click and collect offering. So we started to explore that back probably from 2012, but we really wanted to make sure that we did something very, very different. Because back then there was no pharmacy websites. There was one in Ireland. Boots hadn't even launched actually in Ireland.
So just give us an indication, what kind of year are you talking about?
So, well, it was 2014 we actually launched. 2014, yeah.
Okay.
So, and it was a, I remember doing all of the research, myself and a few of our team at that time. We had to go and buy in the UK and in the States in order to actually see what Best in Class could look like, you know. So I remember buying Net-a-Porter and, you know, things from Looking Fantastic and Cult Beauty and all the rest at that time. And then what we had a look at how all that arrived and their customer service on the back of it. Because what I didn't want would be an online offering that was soulless, or, you know, you send off an email, nobody came back to you. It would seem like there was no person behind the brand. So I suppose we took a little bit of everybody. So we met at our own then.
So just to be clear here, I don't want to go past this point too quickly.
Yeah.
So what you did was you researched competitors and international websites.
Yeah.
And you made purchases from their stores.
Yeah.
Way back 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
To figure out what they were doing.
Yeah.
Best.
Yeah.
And then you used that learning to define your own strategy on how you were going to present your own e-commerce offering. Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's essentially. Yeah. And we took a little bit of everybody's and then we met at our own. What we were really trying to do, Keith, is, you know, I always say to our team, like, our people are at the core of everything we do, yeah? And, you know, that's the same in any business, yeah? But in a pharmacy business, when we're in healthcare, that really rings true because we're there to give our customers care, attention, and make their day a little bit better. Because 9 out of 10 times, people who are coming through our doors are coming in for medicines, which means that they're not well, yeah? So we are looking after very vulnerable people. So we really have to amplify in our business the care, the empathy, the attention that we give to people. And I always say to our team, like, we are a team of day makers, not transaction takers. Yeah. We're here to make their day a little bit better and for them to walk out feeling a little bit better than they did when they walked in. And sometimes they're chronically ill, but if we can make them smile in any shape or form, that's our purpose here. And I wanted to bring that experience to when somebody would get an order from us, if that makes sense.
Okay. So just on that, I need to interrupt, right? So the other half of Milk Bottle is Peter Corkery, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it must have been soon after you launched.
Uh-huh.
I remember having a conversation with Peter and he made a comment to me and he said, if you want to experience a proper e-commerce experience in terms of what you just described, in terms of the packaging and everything, he said, you need to buy off Una O'Hagan.
Right, okay? Okay.
And the reason he did that, was because, number one, he had bought off you. But there's a phenomenon in the States. It was called the unboxing phenomenon. There's kids making millions per year by buying things and opening the box and sharing their reaction, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just explain to the listeners what's in the Mars box, because that is key to what you've just led up to, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, what we wanted to do was really, do you know whenever you buy from online stores, and I had done this before in the past, and it comes in an old corrugated brown box and there's a bit of sellotape or sometimes masking tape on it and there's a label stuck on it, and when you open the box, like, the product has an old sticker on it and it's filthy and, you know, it's wrapped up in bubble wrap or whatever, and you just think, nobody even cared about this. Nobody seen the customer at the end of this whenever they put this together. And that's what I definitely didn't want. I wanted people to know when they opened the box that it was packaged with care and attention and was almost done with the customer in mind, as if they were standing at an OTC counter in one of our stores. That's the experience I wanted to get, and for everybody to, when they opened the box, that they would smile. Yeah, that's the only reaction we wanted to do. So if you peel that back, what were we looking for? We really wanted to have a lovely box. So the branding is really important to us. So it's a Mars box and it's there and it has a positive message when you open the box that, you know, I think it's hello gorgeous, you were expecting me, or I know you're expecting me at the minute. But we change that up every so often so that our repeat customers get something different. It's packaged with tissue paper, that's all branded. Again, that's obviously cost, whatever. That's really important to us because it is like an unwrapping experience, I suppose. Mm. And we used to individually wrap every single product one time. Can you imagine us doing that now?
How long did that last?
I don't know how long it lasted. But but we used to go to that attention. And then we always put in a little free gift or samples and a Mars bar as well.
Don't move over it too quickly. Why? Explain why.
Well, we put on Mars bar because I was listening to our team in customer service one day, and you know, the whole, I suppose, the end experience is really important to us. So we really focus on the customer service as well. And we, our team there, they're just brilliant at what they do. But like, I was just sitting listening one day to them, and I out of all of the phone calls that were coming in over, say, that hour that I was sitting observing them, like, I'd say probably 80% of the calls was, no, 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 it's Mars, like, as in the chocolate bar, like Mars. So people couldn't pronounce the name, do you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, outside of Dublin, well, it's actually lots of people in Dublin can't pronounce the name neither because it's spelled M-E-A-G-H-E-R-S. So people say Meagers, 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 you know, all sorts of names or whatever. I think it's a temporary name. I don't know where it comes from. But once you go outside of Dublin, not much chance, but get off the island and we're shipping to 58 different countries around the world now, Keith. You know, not a hope. So what the girls were saying, no, it's like, it's Mars, like in the as in the chocolate bar, because that's like obviously a global brand. So I was going, God, that's really interesting. I think we're going to have to get a few Mars bars. And I was up in Musgrave's with Kieran, our operations, and we seen this like big humongous box of mini Mars bars. And I was going, get that and we'll stick one of those in the order. And now it's just, you know, people look forward to the box because there was a Mars bar in it for a cup of tea. And like, sometimes we get complaints now about there was no Mars bar in my box and I had the kettle on. And, you know, because, and that's about bringing a smile to your face. It's not actually about the Mars bar. It's about actually, it's something, a little treat just to make your day, you know.
And it's a bit of fun, in fairness.
Exactly.
And it's directly connected to a mispronunciation of
exactly.
the name.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's cool. Kieran did tell me at one stage, I remember in a meeting one time that, There people did come back when they didn't get the Mars bar.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it just shows you, like, I know your repeat order rate in Shopify is very, very high because obviously you've just, you know, I think to anybody that's listening to this, they can hear the passion, you know, and they can hear your passion and probably visualize your vision.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense for people to be buying a second time and expecting the Mars bar.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting how something so small is yet so important to the customer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always fascinated by businesses that don't really understand that you can actually have a better relationship with your online customer than your walk-in retail customer.
Yeah,
because
when
most customers go into any retail store, they don't greet the staff. They just walk out, pick up what they want, and then they leave.
Yeah.
Whereas online, you have an opportunity to communicate with them again. And as you say, bring joy to their day.
So, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you can stand out from the crowd in doing that because not many people actually do it. And like our customer service team will often say, like, they get a real like, oh, you answered me. As if, you know, that is standout.
A surprise
in that actually somebody has come back, are so responsive. Like, we would definitely respond within 24 hours, if not sooner. We pick up the phone to people as opposed to send an email. So whatever way we can make it as personal as we can do. And that sets us apart as well, because that is unusual in an e-commerce world, would you believe? So what we're trying to do is bring, I suppose, the care and attention that we would do in a physical world to the online setting, and always asking, what else can we do? How else can we do it better? What else would you like to see from us? So we probably torment our customers in that. But what my experience is that they tend to tell you. They tend to tell you what you're doing right, what you could be improving on, and where they would like you to go. And that keeps you very in touch with your customer in terms of what's happening in the big bad world out there.
I think, you know, it's very easy to see what you're talking about, because if you go into the review section of your site, the amount of customers that actually take photos of the products.
Yeah.
And give, like, people spend time to actually give the feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's actually amazing. You know, it is actually quite amazing. And everything that you see on the front end of the website and the reviews and the happy customers is a reflection, I think, on, you know, what you've been discussing. In terms of the future, Una, as you look into your, I suppose, your crystal ball, do you see your business becoming more technical and more digitized? Would it be correct to say that you will see the population depending on your business more? And then, do you think that it will put more pressure on your business, or will it be an opportunity to expand?
Oh, I think it'll be an opportunity. Yeah, absolutely. I think the future is very bright for pharmacy. I think if anything that this pandemic has shown is a few things. Number one, when it all boils down, all we care about is our health and our well-being and the health of our loved ones around us. So that's the first thing. And I think it's shown that we're probably underinvested in healthcare in this country, as is so many other countries. So there needs to be reinvestment in healthcare for sure. And we as community pharmacies, I thought it was really interesting. in the last MRBI Trust Index score, community pharmacists topped the poll. They were number one trusted profession in Ireland. The last time it was done, I think it was 6 months before, we were number two, just after the nurses, which is completely understandable. So I think the public's perception of pharmacy has changed. I think people are, just as you said earlier, much more aware of what we can do. You know, people's perception might have been we were the place you come into to get a tablet with a label stuck on it, and we were like glorified shopkeepers nearly. But now people understand actually we have the knowledge, we have the expertise, we can give the advice. People come to us for comfort and advice more so even than the products. And they know that we know what we're talking about.
But you always knew that though, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I guess that COVID has just shown our capabilities, really. And because we're so accessible, as I said, because everything else is closed, now people have a better understanding of the skill set of a community pharmacist. So I think, you know, now we need policy change to actually unleash these skills, if that makes sense. And when I look at our colleagues in the north of Ireland or the UK, like they are doing so many clinical services in order to make sure that people don't get sick, if that makes sense, or if they're chronically ill, have diabetes, say, for example, or other illnesses, that they are managing those services within the community. And that's where community farming needs to get to. Like, we have been on this journey, I'd say, for 10 years, Keith, actually since the recession, whenever we kind of went, okay, where are we going? What's our vision in pharmacy? And our vision is really to become, you know, one of Ireland's leading health and beauty pharmacies, where our customers' health and well-being is central to our success. So what we mean by that is that we want to proactively look after their healthcare. We want to be the place for them to stay well, as opposed to the place that they come to in order to whenever they're sick. So that means, you know, we're really educators. That's what we're doing here. We're trying to educate people on a number of different, healthcare issues, so that, you know, we're the place to come to for that source of information. And people will come for the knowledge. And I always feel like, you know, if you give people knowledge, knowledge is power. That empowers them to make the right healthcare decisions for themselves. And there's a whole, suite of data insights that we have for, you know, on our dispensary systems, on our EPOS systems, all the rest, that can paint a holistic picture of our patients. So we can nearly predict, would you believe, who is going to become diabetic, because we know that from the customer, that their medical journey. Yeah. So wouldn't it be an amazing thing to be able to actually intervene and have diagnostic testing and clinical services to ensure that that doesn't happen for our patients? And that is the future for pharmacy, I think. And we have a huge role that we can play there. And pharmacists have the skill set to do that. And do you know what? It would change lives of people. Like, for example, Keith, we are now, the last 2 weeks, scanning type 2 diabetic patients for a condition called NAFLD, non-alcohol fatty liver disease. It's a silent epidemic in Ireland, across the world. People don't know about it. Type 2 diabetics patients are absolutely at risk. 1 in 4 globally have it. We have just discovered in the scanning that we have done over the last 2 weeks that 1 in 3 people in Ireland have it, of all the people that we have scanned. If this builds up, if these liver deposits build up or fat deposits build up in your liver, it turns into scarring tissue, fibrosis, which then turns into cirrhosis of the liver. We had over 30 people who had fibrosis that we've identified over the last 2 weeks who had no idea that it had an issue in their liver. They have been able to be fast-tracked into now to see Professor Suzanne Norris in the liver wellness scan in St. James's Hospital to get on a treatment plan to reverse that. It's completely reversible as long as you catch it early enough. But the problem is nobody knows about it. And so therefore, how can you do something about this?
And did those patients voluntarily come into the pharmacy, or you reach out to them?
We were able to identify them, you see, because we know who our type 2 diabetic patients are. So okay. We were able to explain to them, this is something you should come into. Here are the reasons why. Come invite them for a scan, completely free of charge. Normally it would cost €200 if they were doing it privately. And not only that, it was Suzanne, Professor Norris and her team that were doing the scanning. So they had full access to the top expert in Ireland.
Top people.
Yeah. This is like this. We are the first in Europe to roll this out in community pharmacy. So that's where the future is. That's changing lives. 2 people, unfortunately, had full-blown cirrhosis and didn't know about it.
Let's take a short break to talk about our sponsors. Rewind.io is the leading backup solution for your Shopify store. Did you know that there's no way of recovering lost data? If your store is gaining traction, app developers or multiple staff may enter your store, and there's absolutely no way of fixing human error. Rewind.io allows you to rewind your store back to its original state, so you can reduce your business risk immediately with the Rewind app. It's so easy, and it's the cheapest and best insurance policy you'll ever need for your Shopify store. Get your first month for free by simply replying to your first email from Rewind and mention this podcast. Now, regular listeners will know I love Klaviyo. It's the single biggest revenue generator I've ever seen across hundreds and hundreds of Shopify stores I've been in. Klaviyo's data-driven marketing automation platform is sophisticated enough to power those legendary campaigns from the big brands you admire, but they make it simple, they make it easy, and they make it fast. To get started with a free trial of Klaviyo, visit klaviyo.com/milkbottle. That's klaviyo.com/milkbottle. So you have a very clear vision and a very clear concept of where everything needs to go. So in terms of Shopify then and the online site,
yeah.
For example, one of the Viagra products is now available online. Yeah. I can see that menopause is a massive area in general, yeah. And locally in Ireland it has been a topic of major discussion.
Yeah.
And also then you've got the online doctor. So do you see the Shopify store being central to that vision that you have, which is a kind of a bricks and mortar vision as well as an online vision?
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, all of these services, you know, but, you know, I suppose if you map out the customer journey, where we can digitize any part of that journey, we should do that through the online store. Yes, okay, whenever you get to a state where you actually either have to conduct a scan or take a blood sample or something like that, that you need a physical interaction at that point in time. But there is so much of that whole customer journey in terms of the education, in terms of aftercare education, in terms of, you know, linking up with the doctor. Like, as you said, we have an online GP service now that's all digitized. When our patients see that online doctor, those scripts are now sent digitally to us. We package them up, get them dispensed. We call that patient, we offer them a digital online consultation with our pharmacist, and we then put that into one of our beautifully vaxxed boxes and send that in our logistic chain down. So we have now completed the full circle for the customer can stay in their home and have that full service. Well, we can move any of these services into that digital world. Well, why couldn't we have, you know, blood customers can take their own a finger prick of a blood sample and send that off themselves. Why can't we digitize as much as we can to keep people, you know, if they choose to come into us, great. And if they choose not to, because they don't want to, for whatever reason, they can stay at home and still use these services. So all of this is, I suppose we're on this digital transformation journey. You just said earlier that, you know, there's 10x times in e-commerce. I would say everything has been fast-tracked at least 5 years in the healthcare system. But what my fear is we can't go back. We can't stall now.
Yeah.
You know, we're on this journey.
Keep,
we've just shown, we have to keep it going now.
Yeah.
Like, Ireland is such an innovative country. We're full of entrepreneurs here. We have the skill set. It's about getting the right people into the room so that people can collaborate together and actually make it happen without the pressure of a pandemic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've just shown what we can do over the last 14 months. Wouldn't it be a terrible shame now to take the foot off the pedal? You know, so we need to continue this journey. And as I said earlier, to keep the customer, the patient, in the centre of all of our decisions. Because if we always chased, before the pandemic happened, the physical piece of paper. We're so focused on the prescription as opposed to the patient. That's where we're going wrong. It's back to looking after your customers, you know, and keeping them central to everything. And listen, and keep asking them, what else would you like us to see? Like, a big revelation for us was when we launched the online pharmacist, you know, the video pharmacist, we sort of thought it would be the elderly people who would be interacting with us on that. Actually, it's not true at all. People who are embarrassed about certain medications, who don't want to be asking in a physical setting and looking over their shoulder who's coming in. And fertility is one big example here. People coming in, they're on an IVF program, they haven't a clue, it's very overwhelming. They get a prescription, 14 items on it. They don't know, what am I supposed to do with all of this? They're talking about self-injecting. That's new to everybody as well. They kind of go, you have to inject this at day 3, this at day 5, this one to keep it in the fridge, this one you have to make up, whatever. There, it's totally overwhelming. Now they can send us our prescription. We can have all of that consultation in, you know, online. We're there at home. They can ask all the questions without being in the pressure who's standing behind them. And they can have it with their partner. you know. So now that's a much better customer experience. And we can show them how to do a demo injection. So again, it's like keeping the customer at the core of everything that we do.
It's hard to believe, you know, people talk in the e-commerce world about omnichannel, where you connect your retail store to your online store.
Yeah.
I don't know what the term is to describe connecting your retail store to your online store and then connecting the entire health system to that process.
Yeah.
So there must be a term for that.
We'll have to make it up, Keith. Yes,
we will. I can't think quick enough on live on air, but... One of the major aspects and one of the focuses of many of the online, the Shopify store owners that we're working with is internationalization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Brexit is now not mentioned because we're obviously COVID has taken over.
Yeah.
A lot of our customers using Shopify switched off exports to the UK because of customs issues. And now we're hearing a lot of them now looking at other markets. And of course, you're involved with Enterprise Ireland. You're very much aware of what the IADA are trying to do and are trying to influence people into the country, and Enterprise Ireland are trying to influence people exporting and selling out of Ireland.
Yeah.
If we bring that down, then bring it back to e-commerce within the Shopify community, we call it internationalization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to let you away with the fact that you mentioned that you have already been selling to 58 countries.
Yeah.
So we've heard about your passion for the local market, mm-hmm. Which I think is admirable. It's really interesting to listen to. When it comes to exporting and abroad, is the world your oyster for any online entrepreneur?
Absolutely, 100%. And I think throughout COVID, again, this has just highlighted what is out there. We're only scraping the surface of it in our business. You know, we were so busy, I suppose, getting new products back up onto the website and you know, the surge for, you know, back to face masks and hand sanitizer and everything. What we didn't realize actually until we stopped and had a look at it, so many customers from all across the world were now coming and shopping with us. So we are shipping to 58 different countries around the world, as you say, Keith. Those people are finding us usually through our social channels and referrals from, you know, loved ones back at home or you know, or actually just a friend in that country that has already shopped with us. So again, it's back to, you know, we have to develop out now a global strategy, because what we've realized is actually there's a lot of consumers in lots of different markets who have a huge appetite for the products and services that we have to offer. So now, without any outward marketing, we're shipping to 58 countries. Can you imagine now if we just focused on, I don't know, 5 or 6 of those markets and decided to really, you know, drive that business? So that's our plan. Our plan now is to choose, not everywhere, you know, because we're going to have to be strategic about this, you know. So, but what markets all across the globe that we can service easily? And you talk about Brexit. Now we're in Europe, that has opened up huge opportunities to us from Europe, because suddenly now those retailers in the UK have challenges pushing product out to Europe. Now Europe is at, you know, it's there, it's open for us. So that's our plan going forward, to really have a look at, to get off the island and get off the island properly. And, you know, and what a legacy from back in Pierce's day, you know, this one store on Baggot Street, to now having, you know, what my dream and my aspiration is to have a global brand. And why can't Mars go to, you know, whatever countries we decide to actually take it to? So, yeah. So I think we have to think globally now. I think we're so well connected, you know, and customers, like every time we do a live on Instagram or whatever, you know, the people tuning in from all over the world to look. So and there's so many Irish, I suppose, spread all over the world as well. That's a huge opportunity, because they all have their own little networks and in different countries as well. So as long as we blow our initial customer away, I think that they'll become our marketeers in new markets as well.
Fully agreed, Una. Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. It is quite amazing the amount of people that don't even put a currency converter on their site, because they say, sure, nobody abroad will buy from their site. But sure, there's always somebody, always somebody willing to make a purchase.
Absolutely.
You know, before we go, it was recently announced that you're nominated for 2021 Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know that it's a long drawn out process and it's in process, but can you just give us some indication of what it is? I mean, what is it?
Yeah. So Ernst & Young have been running this program for years, and it's really to highlight entrepreneurship, you know, and to get like-minded people together and you know, I mean, I'm absolutely blown away to be in the final 24. I feel like a bit of an imposter, to be honest with you. But I do, because like, so the people in the Ernest and Young alumni circle are probably the people that I look up to within the Irish business network, you know, so much. Like, they are real trailblazers, really. So it's amazing to be part of that network. And I think sometimes it can be, I'm sure you find it, Keith, as well, it can be a very lonely place whenever you're running a business, you know, and you, you know, you need to really reach out to like-minded people, you know, to get your own motivation as well, and to keep inspired and keep moving on. So I love being part of lots of different networks. I'm involved in so many, and people often ask me, why do you do that or whatever? I do it to keep myself, you know, passionate and motivated, and find out what are they doing about in their business that maybe, you know, maybe their business is completely different to pharmacy, but there's always key learnings that you can take back, you know.
But Una, you're also very generous with your own time.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
well,
it's a two-way street, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier about Going for Growth. I did that program back when I kind of had my head in my hands going, where am I going to take this business? You know, after the recession, kind of going, what way are we going to go here? You know, so I joined Going for Growth to try and figure out, okay, well, what should I be doing? And I got a lot from that program. And so that's why I get so heavily involved and giving back through it as well. So I've been a lead entrepreneur in the program for probably, I'd say, 6, 7, maybe 8 years now. So get together 8, maybe 9 entrepreneurs every single month to, you know, share our learnings really and develop through. There's a plan, a 6-month plan that we go through. So, and that's to help them grow their businesses here in Ireland. But you get so much from hearing from people at that stage in their journey as well. And I have some huge businesses on my table this year as well, like Aisling Joyce from Joyce's Supermarkets down in Galway, whatever. Oh, yeah. Huge business, you know. Yeah. But people sometimes just need to be around like-minded entrepreneurs. Yeah. And, you know, there's magic happens. There's a golden thread that connects us, you know. Yeah. Some people say it's madness, you know, but it's, you know, it's that quest for always being better. And that's why Ernest & Young, I'm really excited about that, because this is another network of people who have incredible businesses, you know, that I hope I'm going to learn something from, you know.
Absolutely. And look, enjoy it. I do believe that it's a long process as well. It takes time. So it's wonderful. And I'm just genuinely delighted for you. Your point there about the loneliness of entrepreneurship, we see it a lot in e-commerce.
Yeah.
I mean, I've interacted with people that are turning over, you know, 7, 8 figures with zero staff.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So their stock is sitting in New York. They're traveling around on their laptop. They're managing the businesses. And it is actually, you know, for a lot of people, it is a lonely old road.
It can be, yeah.
And it doesn't suit a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Before we go, I just want to mention the rest of your team. Because you have a wonderful e-commerce team that we work with on a daily basis. Emer, Yvonne, Sarah, Matthew and Kieran.
Yeah.
And well done on your success.
Thank you. Yeah.
We get on a regular basis calls, and when we just know when somebody is asking us for something that they've just gone on to Uno Hagen's site and they've just said, how did you do that? You know, so thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Listen, it's our people, you know, you mentioned all of the team online there, but it's people in the online team, the customer service team, the stores. They're the lifeblood of Mars Pharmacy, you know, and, you know, we're delighted that we're being named as a great place to work in Ireland again this year. And we've actually moved up. Despite all of our challenges this last year, we moved up into the top 30. We moved up 11 places this year. So, and Great Place to Work, Keith, that network is about them wanting to show up to work in Mars because of the people that they're working with. It's a camaraderie. It's people on a journey together, shared vision, shared passion to really make a difference to our communities. And that be our physical communities in Dublin, but actually now our online community that spans all across the world. So it's brilliant. And, you know, they inspire me to keep going and whatever. And they're brilliant at what they do. We have a really highly skilled team that bring their own strengths and their own passions to the team. And collectively, we are so much greater than the sum of the parts, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does. It does make perfect sense. It was worth the wait. Thank you very thank you very much
Are
for your
sure?
time. Absolutely. thanks very much.
No, not at all. You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening. All of our episodes are available on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. A special note of appreciation goes to our sponsors, Rewind.io, the leading backup solution for Shopify store owners. Get your first month of Rewind for free by simply responding to any welcome email once you sign up for your free trial on Rewind.io. And of course, to the email platform Klaviyo, which helps Shopify brands easily create personalized, multi-channel marketing campaigns using your most powerful asset, your customer data. To get started with a free trial of Klaviyo, visit klaviyo.com/milkbottle. That's klaviyo.com/milkbottle. If you're a Shopify user with an exciting story to tell, reach out to the team on podcast@milkbottlelabs.com. Until the next time, take care.